Yellow.
Welcome, people. Welcome, Eigenfolks. Mm-hmm. Today we have a very interesting episode.
Yeah.
But first, let's get all the formalities out the way.
Yeah. So make sure, guys, like, share, comment, and subscribe if you have not already. Check us out on all our social media. We got Eigenbros.com. We got Eigenbros on Twitter. We got Eigenbros on Instagram. We got Eigenbros on 2 on TikTok. And then also, guys, thank you so much, the patrons. We really appreciate you guys. We do an extra podcast every week, pretty much. And if you guys are interested in supporting your boys here, you know, check us out on Patreon and Eigenbros as well. And you can get us doing some extra content. Yep. Not physics related, just BSing.
Yeah, you know, just, yeah, cultural stuff. We just tag on a lot of different issues and stuff, and maybe some science stuff here and there. But anyways, check that out, and let's get right to it.
Yeah, so the topic of the day, we need that X-Files sound
like. Yeah. I mean, very interesting topic, I think. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I stumbled upon this because there was a CIA document circulating on the internet.
I saw it several places.
Same. It was titled, or the paper that is being discussed was released in 2003. Here, 2003, 09-10. It's Department of the Army, U.S. Operational Group, U.S. Army Intelligence. The subject was called Analysis and Assessment of Gateway Process. And
I hate the paper titles so much.
And it's written, and here's the thing, the original, this originally was funded, according to this, at least as early as June 1983. And it was written by Wayne M. McDonald. He's a commander, lieutenant. I don't know what MI is. LTC.
Yeah, I don't know what
LTC, MI, I don't know. Wayne M. McDonald, sorry. And it was approved for release because of, I guess, the American, what is it? American what? Information, Freedom of Information.
Oh, yeah, Freedom of Information, Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah, yeah. And anyway, the whole study is basically how to achieve altered states of consciousness. And the CIA was interested in this because they were trying to do surveillance on war on different nations, and they couldn't necessarily
just send someone to go.
Yeah. They couldn't necessarily.
That's such a dangerous gig, right?
It is. And like they couldn't, they were trying to find ways to spy on people without sending people on the ground. And because of the Cold War and the nature of that, like you could literally instigate war if they found you doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be a whole
nuclear disaster. I mean, you have, yeah.
That could be a whole new war now.
Yeah. So they didn't even want to poke that hive at all. So they were trying to find ways to do that. And one of the ways was the CIA investigating, quote unquote, what we call psychics. And that psychics is a loaded term because it's like such a goofy like concept to think about. Like
I was imagining Miss Cleo.
People with superpowers or if you're Hispanic and you grew up in a Hispanic household, you think of Walter Mercado, if you know, you know, the Sunday kind of like guy who gave you horoscopes.
I heard of that guy.
Walter
Mercado.
He's
real big, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
huge. Did you tell me about
him? He's huge in the Latin community. No, I didn't.
Somebody, or I think maybe Bert. I think maybe Bert Kreischer, Thomas Gerd.
Maybe Tom. Tom might know because Tom is Hispanic.
Yeah, because he's a huge guy, but nobody who's American would know of him. But he's huge in the Latin.
In the Latin community, yeah, he's huge. I mean, we're talking like millions of people being influenced by this one guy. He's a clairvoyant. He can tell the future. He can like...
Right.
And the accuracy...
Does it all.
And it's funny because like, I mean, sometimes he hits and sometimes he doesn't, but it's like very vague. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a funny guy.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Walter Mercado, shout out to him. I think he died actually, but his spirit lives on.
Did he see that coming? I wonder.
I know, right? He's like, I'm going to die in 2 weeks. No, I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if he's like, is he dead? Hold up.
You keep on going. I'll check and see if he's dead.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Anyway, so clairvoyance is like this thing Or anyway, they talk about clairvoyance. Yeah,
what's,
and different hold on, superpowers.
What's the point, Juan? What are you trying to get to, by the way?
I know, I'm trying to get into the bread and butter of this topic.
I want to try to get us to say the point of the podcast early on, especially for this one, because any physicist listening, yes, it's probably as dumb as you think.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you're interested in this, into hearing more information, you know, just trying to suss out. I think really the big thing I want to try to take with this podcast is trying to figure out how to distinguish between occult research, how to actually do good research if you're dealing with like occult subjects or maybe like kind of mystical things. How could you actually scientifically prove those things are bad or good?
Yes. And
because it's good to have an open mind, of course, right? Because like we talk about alien stuff, which I think could be one of the more legitimate conspiracy things.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to be open-minded because you just never know what's in the universe sometimes, right?
Yeah, well, this is the thing I kind of wanted to highlight, like the altered states of consciousness thing where they talk about achieving states of consciousness allows them to like see things in time or like in another time or like look in the past or like do these things that are kind of like our classical notion of...
So, like, a human is able to see into the future, see into the past, or see other regions that are far away from where they are currently.
Yeah, locally.
Just with using their, or just within their own mind's eye, I guess you could say.
How they're able to imagine these things is kind of the thing.
Right.
Anyway.
And by the way, Walter Mercado is dead. He died last, 2019.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah, 2 years. Yeah, 2 years
December 2019.
Yeah, 2 years ago. But so
a little bit like, a little more than a year, actually.
It'd be interesting to see if he had any premonitions, but anyway.
2020 is not going to be a good year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, but like, anyway. So like, I wanted to highlight some of this stuff because a lot of prominent people in science are looking at this and like, the UK has a whole, literally, they're the only nation in the world that's taken this seriously. And they have an institution that gives out, they have a whole major and you can get a PhD in parapsychology.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're trying to investigate this as a serious field.
Let me ask
study.
You real quick, Juan. Mm-hmm. Bullshit or not? What do you think?
Damn, dude.
I went gate.
I went in thinking no, but there's so much.
You mean bullshit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thinking it's bullshit, but then like.
So it means you think not bullshit now.
I think just there's a question mark.
Okay. Question mark.
Because like I really have to look at the papers, but you shouldn't take my word for it. Don't take my word for it.
Well, I'm going to hopefully. So I'm going to come out and say I think bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to give you.
So this should be a good discussion because we can both kind of argue both sides then.
Yeah. So I will say it's just kind of interesting to suss out all this stuff.
Yeah. So I mean. Are you finished with your point here? Should I begin talking a little bit?
Well, I kind of wanted to cover more of what the field is, the
right.
field
yeah,
of
yeah,
parapsychology.
Sure.
Is.
Sure, sure.
So the field itself was founded in the early 1800s. No, I'm just kidding. Early
probably though, actually. Well, maybe not.
Well, so the Society for Psychical Research in London was formed in 1882.
Okay.
There were things that people were trying to study to see like to study things like clairvoyance and telepathy because there were these things that people felt like they had in some sense like people could guess to a non-random like in a non-random how would you say probability to be able to guess what's going on in somebody else's mind or had like strange intuitions and stuff like that anyway, or preconceptions or whatever of certain events. Mm-hmm. And they were interesting enough to where they developed a whole freaking institutions and studies. And anyway, the paranormal, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So there's these phenomena that people are trying to understand. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's how this field came about. But then... the thing that really kicked it off was the advent of quantum mechanics around the 1920s.
Of course.
And there was an American
blame
scientist.
Quantum for all the fucking crazy shit out there.
Yeah. especially with the advent of quantum mechanics, because quantum mechanics was so tied at that time, it was tied to like how we observe experiments, and how we always thought of ourselves as decoupled from our experiments. But what some scientists were finding was that our influence in the micro scale energy regimes was still we impacted our experiments in our observations,
right?
I guess,
or measurements, we should
or
say.
Measurements, yeah, we
not
should
to
say.
Get people confused with the observation.
True, trope. But that's kind of how it came about, and it strengthened like the argument for them that conscious beings kind of have a say in, have an impact on their external world in a way that's sort of immaterial, not. You know what I'm saying? Like those energy, the immaterial meaning that like you don't necessarily like we're impacting how the energy states of things behave. That's kind of the takeaway that they had.
Okay, but which energy states are still material.
Yeah. Well, they're saying not matter, I guess. I mean, like we can have a direct impact on our current regime. Because we can mold matter. In our environment. Because we can mold matter in the way we want.
Yes.
All that stuff.
Yes.
We can also transfer energy into different states of matter.
Yes.
We do that with machines and whatever.
Yeah.
We can do that already, but I think the quantum mechanics just kind of made them all be so, like, how would you say? It opened the door for, like,
Mysticism,
essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's so weird.
Because it's strange,
and it defies intuition.
Yes,
that we are not accustomed to. Anyway,
yeah.
Proceeding on.
So
this is the history.
So yeah, this is the history. So I'm just telling you why it exists and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then, sure enough, like in the future, the American intelligence agencies are trying to develop ways to spy on their enemies, so PSI is one of these things. PSI is one of these things that. They started coming up with and trying to categorize this phenomena, and then them finding individuals that had this sort of non-stochastic kind of like non-random chance or probability of predicting things that they shouldn't have known. Weird statistical variances that kind of had scientists scratching their heads.
Right, right.
And in some sense, there's still, this is why I'm like, I was like, wow, okay, that's kind of compelling evidence, but I don't know. It's not enough to draw
any
universal
conclusions.
Statements. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, let me just jump in now. So I did some research on this as well, and I was thinking, okay, what was the statistical evidence or what was the significant evidence in this procedure? And I was looking it up, and the main remote viewing experiments were done by a guy named...
Remote viewing, by the way, is what? How would you
characterize? So remote viewing, if you've ever seen Stranger Things, is basically what Eleven was able to do when she would go into her little black space where she would be able to see like Mike.
Oh, this is a perfect example. Stranger Things is literally a show about this.
Yeah, it's literally remote viewing.
Yeah.
So she's able to see people and events just in her mind's eye.
Yeah.
Of course, the remote viewing as we know in reality, quote unquote, is I don't think it's that precise where she's actually seeing where you can actually see events clearly.
No, not at all.
At least from the research, but
Can I interject?
Yeah, sure.
So, and this is also one of the reasons why this research only occurred for 20 years, because once technology got so good, there was no use. There was no need to
just use a satellite.
With ultimate
clarity.
Yeah, this is why. Like that's why you had certain individuals apparently that had this like extra sensory ability. I guess I guess the scientists didn't understand like what the hell is going on. And it's dramatized in TV shows or movies, like things like this, where or The Men Who Stare at Goats is another film.
Right. That's a little bit older. I'm not sure how many of the audience would know that, but that movie is actually based around these events that me and Juan are discussing with the CIA right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, with the remote viewing stuff, the statistical evidence they were claiming was that a certain number of times the the people under experiment would hit descriptions of places that they would say, apparently, with a statistically significant amount of times.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think I can agree with that because I looked at some of the experiments they do, and what they basically do is, for example, there is one experiment. Actually, maybe it would help if I just read it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. We just had an airplane fly over.
I don't think the audience would actually be able to hear it.
That's good.
Because it cuts out a lot of the audio when we do it on the on Premiere.
Good stuff. So, like, yeah, it's just very interesting for me coming into this because I started seeing a lot of media that had this kind of that kind of looked at this experiment in the 80s and mm-hmm. 90s that just seems so out of this world, like just seems so ridiculous. And I just mm-hmm. can't believe that people are legitimately studying this. Like,
right.
Even trying to, I guess because they're trying to explain some of that statistical variance that they see that's outside of probability, outside of randomness is what they say,
mm-hmm.
Which that's really the only way they're able to get funding. I'm going to be right. honest with you. Because they're showing data plots of stuff like this that it's convincing government scientists to give them money.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But here's the thing with this
wasting
field,
taxpayers' money on those too.
Well, here's the thing: it's there's data like you're saying, like you're about to show now. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, so let me just read. So this is coming mm-hmm. from skeptic.com. mm-hmm. It's like skeptic instead of with a T. It's with a D.
Yeah, Terrence, it says, did you type in Google remote viewing debunked?
Of course. Yeah. You know, that's the first thing I definitely typed
God
in.
God damn it, Terrence. That's not skeptical, bro. You're just taking one point of view.
No. That's one of many searches.
Okay,
one.
Good.
From skeptic.com, it says, the process of evaluation by parapsychologists of a hit mm-hmm. for remote viewing is similar to that used in the Maimonides dream telepathy experiments. If an occasional description seems apt to the target, that's mm-hmm. a hit. Mm-hmm. If it isn't, exploit the ambiguity of the descriptions or revert to allowing symbolic connections, and that's also a hit. In other words, a hit's a hit, and so is a miss. I don't know what that means. In fact, there is no precise, clear-cut definition of what will count as a hit before the test begins. That's actually a very key point that I wanted to point out because mm-hmm. when they were doing these experiments, this is. I don't know if this is the Jessica Utz one or if this is the Targ and Hal Putoff ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, Hal Putoff, you might recognize that name.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also the guy who inspired some of Salvatore Pais's work. If you've seen us talk about some of the UFO stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's also involved in a bunch of parapsychology, UFO, like all this kind of
hilarious
culty type stuff.
Yeah.
Bad sign. And also Hal Putoff, to mention again, I'm getting so sidetracked, but Hal Putoff and Russell Targ were the two guys who basically started off the whole remote viewing thing. There was another guy, Ego.
Well, no,
Ego
they popularized.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they started.
Yeah, because it existed before this, but they were the ones that got it really the ball rolling.
Yeah,
but,
because they were trying to do statistical analysis on like some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Trying.
But they were the ones that got the CIA experiments to happen as well, because CIA became interested because of Hal Putoff and Targ's experiments.
True, true.
So yeah. Hal Putoff also was this guy as a guy who was in Scientology for a big chunk of his life.
Yeah.
And he actually reached the highest levels of Scientology mm-hmm. as a OT-7 at the time, which was the highest level then.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say that the man has a very big history of occult beliefs.
Yeah. Well, to kind of like interject too, Targ is a physicist by trade.
So is Hal Putoff as well.
But he's a lot older though than Hal Putoff, right?
Targ? Not sure.
I think he is because he's still alive. But like Targ is, I think, I think he's a condensed matter physicist, and apparently he came into this because he wanted to get money.
Seems legit to
me. But he didn't seem.
This is what happens when you don't pay scientists well.
But he was apparently skeptical until he started seeing some of the evidence, started collecting some of the data, and he was just like, okay, all right, I don't know how to explain this, but it's happening.
Well, let's go back to my last point. So it says, to read that question again, in other words, a hit is a hit, and so it is a miss. In fact, there is no precise, clear-cut definition of what will count as a hit before the test begins. This is a very critical thing because...
It's how you're defining the target.
Yeah, this is what is such an easy thing to fall into confirmation bias. Mm-hmm. If you're not defining before the experiment begins what a hit is, meaning like what is statistically counting as this is a parapsychological thing, then you can just make up whatever fits the bill. And this is what they were saying was, when I looked at some of the experiments, the guy would say, so let's say McMonagall was one of their, a guy named McMonagall was one of their clairvoyants or whatever. Yeah. He would describe a scenery. So what would happen is, actually, let me continue on.
Yeah.
Because I think they actually describe what it is, the experiment. So, sorry, let me just try to find this one. It's kind of long.
Yeah, well, let me just interject here with Targ's stuff. So Targ is an interesting guy.
Oh, I got it. Sorry. Sure. Okay, so it says... A researcher, Rachel Curran, photographs six locations in the San Francisco Bay Area and gives the photos to a lawyer who puts them in sets of six numbered envelopes and locks them in a file cabinet. The locations are...
This is Targ's experiment, by the way.
Okay, this is Targ's.
Yeah.
Okay, you know this one.
I know this one,
okay.
Yeah.
So... The locations are a yacht marina, a rock quarry, a giant redwood tree, the Stanford University football stadium, the Palo Alto Airport, and the Dumbarton Bridge. When the test is to begin, the lawyers open the filing cabinet and tell us nobody had access but him. He rolls a die to select one of the six envelopes and hands a numbered envelope unopened to Rachel. He leaves her and she opens the envelope, sees the pictures, she took of the Dumbarton Bridge. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the locations on the envelopes, chosen randomly, apparently, and drives to that location. She is to be a beacon for the remote viewer. McMonagall and May meet at May's office. We are to believe that May has not looked at the pictures and doesn't know where the other researcher is when Joe McMonagall is trying to use his powers for remote viewing to see what the beacon is seeing, which is Rachel in this scenario. So Rachel is the beacon. McMonagall is the remote viewer. Joe draws pictures and talks out loud while Ed sits across the table from him, occasionally showing a picture of Rachel towards him. That's to get his juices flowing, I guess.
Sure. Hilarious.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be unbiased.
No, it's so funny, though. It is. Some of these experiments are really kooky. They really are.
All McMonagall supposedly knows about Rachel's whereabouts is that she is somewhere in the Bay Area. Here are Joe's psychic impressions. So it gives a list of what he wrote down or drew.
Yeah.
He drew a half arch, something dark about it, darkness, a feeling she had to park somewhere and had to go through a tunnel or something, a walkway of some kind, an overpass. There's an abutment way up over her head. We have a garden. It's a formal garden. Formal garden gets passed. Open area in the center. Trees. Some kind of artwork in the center. This artwork is very bizarre, set in gravel, stone. One of these items is relevant. So of all that in the list, the only thing that was relevant was one thing, the abutment overhead. The rest have to be stretched quite a bit to fit the place.
Yeah.
The viewing area for Dumbarton Bridge, nevertheless, as Ed nears the location and is driven under the overpass, he declares, "Now I understand what I was seeing. That's exactly what I was seeing. Rachel's looking out at the bay. There's no half arch, nothing dark about the place. She didn't have to park anywhere or go anywhere in any tunnels or walkways to get to where she wanted.
Yeah.
She drove right to the viewing area. There were no gardens or trees, no open area in the center, no artwork, bizarre or none or otherwise. But for McMonagall, this was a bullseye." His descriptions don't seem particularly apt for any of the six possible choices. He's clearly not describing marina, quarry, a redwood tree, or an airport. They said, "We might find an arch and an abutment in a football stadium. There might even be trees outside the stadium and the university." Bloody, bloody, blah. So there is bound to be artwork on the campus, maybe bizarre monomodal. He says, "I wonder if he'd been taken to the football stadium instead of the Dumbarton Bridge." Mm-hmm. Would he have said, now I understand what I was getting. That's exactly what I was seeing. Mm-hmm. We'll never know. Mm-hmm. We do know that Ed May took the pictures from the duplicate set of envelopes and guessed what the target for Dumbarton and guessed the target was Dumbarton Bridge. Mm-hmm. What are we to make of that? Lucky guess? Cheating? He's a psychic? So that's basically the crux of it.
Yeah.
There's no definition of a hit, and when you list 10 things but only one of them hits, that super still big. Counts as a bullseye for them. So it's such a big stretch.
Yes.
Another experiment was with a guy named Uri Geller. Did you see this guy at all in your research, Juan?
Yeah.
So, Uri Geller is, I think, probably what the movie Men Who Stare at Goats is based around. Mm-hmm. He was a really big psychic and around the time of this remote viewing stuff, and he kind of was one of the guys who got it kicked off.
Yeah.
Because he's one of the guys that hit the big statistical significant marks in this. And the CIA were the ones who was actually controlling the experiments with this guy.
Yeah.
And Uri Geller basically claims to be a psychic, has a bunch of other fantastical feats he can do, apparently. This guy...
Is he the one that hit that target for Jimmy Carter or something? They were trying to locate some lost carrier in Africa, I think.
I didn't read into that.
No. There was one event that still kept them pumping money into this project. And it was like because they hit sometimes, I don't know who, some people would hit the mark sometimes and it would be... Because like there's no reason why the government's not going to pump money into something that doesn't work. You know what I mean?
They can.
The thing is, they can get fooled. I don't see that happening for more than 4 years or something, like the extension of the contract.
Well, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Uri Geller had a background as an illusionist, kind of like a magician.
Yeah.
And they had a guy come in. I think the guy's name was James Randi. Mm-hmm. And there's another guy. Oh, I forget his
also
name.
Very familiar name.
Yeah, I think he was also had a background in being a magician or something as well. I don't know if that was James Randi or maybe the other guy, but the people who could see, one of the guys was relaying that said when he saw Uri Geller's feats, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And when Uri Geller would get something right, he would also get it right.
What does that mean?
Because let's say if Uri Geller needed to draw a picture, right?
Yeah.
One of the big hits with Uri Geller was he drew a picture of like a plane or like some grapes or something. They matched closely to what the image was. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the people who have to draw it where he's trying to remote view it would do these big, they'd have to do big exaggerated drawings. Mm-hmm. And then he could actually see what they were doing and could reproduce the picture, but when the movements were too subtle, his vision would be clouded and he couldn't see what was happening.
What does that mean?
Meaning, like, if let's say you're the experimenter
trying to draw a picture, and you're trying to guess what it is. Yeah,
or I'm trying to visualize what it is.
Yeah,
the drawer would have to draw pictures big enough to where he could like sense it or something.
So that's the only way he could visualize in his mind.
But the guy who was also there looking at this saw that he could also guess the same pictures because the arm movements were so obvious. And he had a background in being an illusionist as well.
Oh, so they could see somebody in the other side of the room.
Yeah, for this particular one. Sometimes they would have them shielded, sometimes they would be in other places. Okay. Yeah. But then they, of course, somehow the drawings didn't match at all when that was the case.
Yeah.
But when the drawings and things were in proximity, then there would be hits sometimes.
Hilarious.
So... This is how you don't try to not fool yourself in experiments. You need to really control every variable.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he would be able to guess these things, and he said that basically when Uri Geller would guess it, he would also be able to guess it. Mm. When Uri Geller's vision was clouded, he also was he couldn't see what it was either because it wasn't obvious. The movies were subtle. But then the other thing is people would abstract things from Uri Geller's images. Mm. Like with one CIA experiment, the CIA guy in a far-off location, drew a picture of a devil. But then Uri Geller, I think this is another tactic they use, is they draw a lot of pictures to try to get at least one hit in there.
Gotcha.
He drew a bunch of things that were like biblical symbols, coincidentally. And they said, maybe he was getting something that was related to the devil picture.
Yeah.
But it had to maybe do with his upbringing. He didn't want to draw the devil or something. It was such weird rationalizations. Yeah. And this is what bad research is like.
Yes.
You can't start extrapolating things when you don't have any kind of clear metrics. Science is done with very precise tools and very precise measurements.
Yeah.
You can't just start adding on qualitative explications to things.
You're interpreting the data to fit your own Yeah, biases.
You also need good controls. They didn't have good controls. One of the other flaws within the Targ put-off experiment.
Well, all of these experiments is I've seen is the controls. They have a bad...
Right. Yeah. And one of the big ones in the HAL put-off experiment also was they gave images to the viewer or whatever that had like dates and locations and stuff on there that were biasing the results again. And then they were getting these crazy like 80% hit rates.
Yeah. One of the more famous ones I think was the one where Russell and Targ and Puthoff were sent a person out to drive and just drive anywhere. And then six locations, but it had to be six locations, but anywhere in particular.
Yeah.
And so Targ would sit in the room with Puthoff, and then Targ didn't know this as well, and they sat in a Faraday cage.
Yeah. Okay.
To try to suss out any kind of like
electromagnetic waves giving the signal.
Yeah, and like to try to convince, because they published this in IEEE, I think, or whatever.
Yeah, it was.
And they tried to suss out any sort of communication that came in from their ear or anything, or any radio signals or anything like that. So anyway, they sent this person out. This person went to six locations or something, took pictures, and Russell and Targ and Puthoff were trying to... Well, Targ was recording what Puthoff was seeing, and they went to these locations, and there was some correlation above the normal variance. But the thing is, the person that they had confirmed the data or confirmed the pictures was they apparently put it in the order.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, they put it in the order that was like that was the order that they
yeah
had,
so they went in or something.
Yeah. So
it's like, come on, guys, like. That's the thing, is like when your controls are bad, of course you're going to have statistical anomalies and statistical relevance. It's like, it's always coincidental how all these parapsychology experiments are so significant and statistical when the controls are fucked up.
They're all. And their margins are so small, like they're like 5% or something. Or like that's like, okay, 5 to 10%, that's like enough to where your own error could have influenced.
Yeah.
The results. So
it was actually interesting to note. It's funny by the CIA too. Mm-hmm. They noted that when the surveyor was too skeptical, the results were never significant. They said, so they need to have people who believe at the same time in parapsychology to make the statistical.
That was something interesting that came about. That was that's a whole phenomena now.
What is?
It's called the sheep goat effect.
Mm.
It's apparently where they noticed that people that didn't believe in a certain thing, they did worse than random.
Right.
And that's like,
that's interesting.
No, it is interesting, but like the people that did believe in it, did normal or did average usually.
What does worse than random mean?
Means like you literally do worse than random. Like you're sabotaging yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay. Like, I have to see what the experiment is, I guess.
Yeah. Look it up. It's goat sheep effect. And it's apparently the psychological thing. It's almost like the opposite of the placebo.
Like, I guess where some random people might get some things right.
Yeah.
But then the people who don't believe at all just get nothing right.
Yeah. But it's like, it's like, you know, the answer sheet.
Yeah.
And you just answer everything wrong. That's apparently
like when you're Christmas treeing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, but it was interesting because it's like the opposite of the placebo effect almost.
Yeah. Like, it's interesting. It's funny.
But that's what they were observing. And they were like, well, and that the other thing is that it's, you got to get people that believe in it apparently, which is like.
So silly. It's all like, right, this is not how science works.
That's a red flag. Like,
science, that's another key indicator. One of the other things they said about this is, the results need to be interpreted by Targ or something, because he was the one who knew the person in the experiment. He knows what he meant. Mm-hmm. Anytime your scientific claim hinges upon someone else having to interpret it, you've already done bad science.
Yeah.
Like, science doesn't need to have a certain particular person to interpret things. Yeah. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
You need to have a replicable data that can be done independently.
Yeah,
that's one of the cornerstones of scientific experiment or anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, this is not science. This is just basically bullshitty Paranormal stuff. This is not the realm of science. I was like sad to see that Puthoff went this way, because I saw his research papers before the 1970s were like legit physics, and then all of a sudden it just went down crazy batshit lane as soon as 1973 hit. And it was just all a bunch of crazy shit. I was like, damn, how do you not learn this stuff when you're a physicist? Like, he should be past this already. But just shows you guys, like, even physicists are not immune to, you know, immune to magical thinking. Yeah. But that's why the beauty of science is it cuts past those little flaws of people by requiring these things like reproducibility.
Yeah.
You know, controlling your variables properly.
Yeah.
Good statistical data analysis. Like, all these things are there to prevent things just like this. But then, of course, the military, I think, being involved, they don't know shit. Or like CIA, they don't know how to do experimental. They're not scientifically literate. So that even made me realize, oh, this is how Salvatore Pius could get away with this kind of stuff if he's UFO patents, because these military guys don't understand how to be scientifically literate. It's like you kind of forget sometimes how much you can actually dupe non-scientists in this way.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting and actually made me think, okay, this is how, it made me realize this is how Salvatore Pius could actually get away with some of those claims of being able to build a room temperature superconductor and, you know,
catch people in or fool people into this,
into buying into this stuff because they don't understand the scientific method.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you can fool the whole CIA into conducting research in this for decades.
Yeah.
Decades of wasting money, and that's it was decades, right?
Yeah, it's like 20 years.
Oh my god, 20 years! Yeah, 20 imagine years. That.
$20 million.
20 years. Oh, that's it.
Yeah, actually, $20 million, bro.
Still,
count that
waste.
For inflation, that's like at least double. Maybe.
True. Imagine wasting 20 years on a parapsychology experiment.
I mean, like, I think the CIA had a couple hits that were like very that were publicized. The one I'm referencing the Jimmy Carter one.
The hits, I think, are very coincidental, though.
But yeah, and there's a lot of weird coincidence that you could say that it's like, okay, that.
And it's always interesting how when you control the variables, then the statistical nature of it, or the statistical significance goes down.
Yeah.
All of the experiments that were done that accounted for the controls didn't show any significant results. So if like that's what it is, and that's what it is, like that's real science.
Yeah, what's interesting is what's interesting is that there are still scientists. There's one famous American physicist that's still studying this. His name is Garrett Mardell, GarrettModdel.
Okay,
he's basically a physics professor at the University of Colorado Boulder. He's carried out experiments in this experimental psychology, this parapsychology, quote unquote, research and remote viewing, apparently. And here's some of his credentials. He's an electrical engineer. He got a degree in electrical engineering at Stanford, and a PhD from Harvard, in physics. And, now he's a professor at the University of Colorado. He became introduced into parapsychology around the 2000s, and he teaches a class.
These guys are religious.
I don't know, but he teaches Edges of Science in an undergraduate. In the university. Anyway, point is, he's one of these people that are trying to, I guess, understand. He's one of these scientists that are trying to go in with a little bit more, definitely skeptically minded, but still trying to be like, okay, let's see where this goes. And the interesting thing is he's probably been the most level-headed person that I've heard talk about this. I kind of want to give a little snippet of what he was saying, because he was interviewed by this channel.
Hold up, let me interrupt real quick though. Sure. I want to make an interesting anecdote that I read saying that the people who did well on remote viewing stuff were also the same people who did well with getting hypnotized, because they were highly suggestible.
Yeah.
I just thought that was an interesting thing to note. Mm-hmm. I'm like, it makes sense.
Yeah, and the CIA paper, though, kind of goes into that, too. It kind of, like, it outlined that because the CIA person that was, like, I guess, how would you say, that were recording the efficacy of these studies, like, was saying that people that are most easily hypnotized are good at this, but they were trying to figure out why. And one of the reasons they were saying that the hemisphere of the brain that controls intuition, I don't know, was apparently associated with being able to be hypnotized. And how they saw EEG readings or something, they saw less activity when those people were being hypnotized, and they saw less activity when they were reaching a state of whatever the hell that is, just being able to try to see things or something. Anyway,
okay.
They also noted that people who were introverted were less good at doing these experiments. They noted that people that were extroverted had a better sense of imagining things outside of their perception to some degree of accuracy. But like it was still, like I said, the variances are still too small for me to ever be like, I don't know.
Yeah. Seems if you have like variances in the experiment,
they're too
do another experiment. 5%
is not convincing enough. Like to me, I'm just like, I don't know. I just wouldn't put money into this. Yeah. But anyway,
Until it's airtight. Because I mean, we've seen this already with the EM drive. It was the same deal.
It is the same deal.
Same shit. And even NASA replicated it wrong. It took a German group or something to finally get all the control.
Yeah.
The variables, all the variables right to actually see that it didn't actually produce any thrust.
Yeah, and then the what is the other thing? The So by the way, if you're interested in I don't know, if you want to walk away with something, a cool little toy, Targ of all people invented this little app that you can download. It's called ESP Trainer.
He's going the Deepak Chopra route, huh?
It's a ESP trainer.
Marketing his kooky shit.
Well, it's not monetized.
Oh, do you have it right there? Is that the rainbow thing?
I do.
Right?
Yeah, ESP Trainer. And the thing is, you're supposed to tap a square to see a picture.
To train your ESP skills.
Yeah. So you can.
So Terrence, is this a free app or do you pay for this?
It's free. Okay. Terrence, it's all free. Terrence, what color do you want to press?
Let's go with yellow. Give me yellow.
You got it right. You got it right.
Confirmed,
you got a fucking
everyone. I have ESP.
Okay, another one. Let's see.
Let's go with blue.
Blue. Holy shit, you got it right again.
Wow.
Okay, Terrence.
It just gives you all the right answers every time.
No, I've done this. I've done really bad.
Do yellow again.
Don't sabotage us. Holy shit, dude. What the fuck?
Did I really get it right?
Yeah, you did.
I don't even know what it means to be right.
Just guess. I don't know.
Red.
Red? Okay, yeah. You got it wrong. It was green.
Okay. Oh, it just doesn't show you a picture if it's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. We'll do a couple more. Here we go.
Let's do yellow.
You got it wrong. It's blue.
Let's say yellow again.
Wrong. It's blue again.
Green.
Wrong. Red.
Okay, I lost my powers. I just lost it because I, you know.
You thought about it too much now.
I was more suggestible and in the state of.
You're like, this isn't going to work. And then you're like, oh, fuck, now I'm thinking about it. Actually, apparently.
So happens when the logic comes in, you just.
That's kind of what, from what I've read, the things that were more interesting were that, like, they were studying the psychology of, like, people were doing better on certain tests because when they just kind of reached, like, a flow state of, like, just kind of their intuition led them to the right thing. But anyway.
I think it's just sometimes your random number generator matches up with whatever the computer's random number generator
is. Yeah, anyway, if you do better, according to this, if you do better than, if you find yourself frequently scoring 12 or more, he's like, email me.
I have a feeling that inbox is real barren.
Probably.
You know what we should do? It would be hilarious.
What's up?
If we like just hacked his program.
His algorithm?
Yeah, and then just got like all of them correct and send him an email.
Just figured out your random
He's
number
like,
generator.
My God, they've done it.
Yeah. No, but I kind of wanted to actually I brought the wrong paper.
What was the app called again, Juan?
ESP Trainer.
ESP Trainer. Go check it out, guys.
Go check it out.
Tell us your ESP scores in the comments.
In the comments, yes, please.
Let us know if you have if you're an remote ESP, viewing skills or whatever it is.
Yeah. Or like, give me a timestamp. No, I was going to say something else. No, forget it.
Yeah, they can't give you a timestamp.
Give me a timestamp of something that... was going to say like something that I'm, I don't know, predict what I'm going to be doing on Tuesday.
What's the title of the next podcast going to be?
True. Yeah. Let's see. But no, let's see if I can get the line I lined up here. Cause, Garrett, Modell, if I'm pronouncing his name right, was kind of defining something interesting and I kind of want to hear your take on what he was saying.
Sure.
So here we go.
Let's say they want to go to an academic, there's a lot of gray hair already well established in another field, and they're no longer in the Society for Scientific Exploration. Not to do it, but it would have.
Damn, your phone is really good at clear quality.
And so he had to pull out.
It's really unfortunate. It's
pull out.
The A. Radin's book and several ways to invoke quantum mechanics in this.
One which I think is illegitimate, and one which is more legitimate. To me, the illegitimate way is to make a model that uses quantum mechanical phenomena to explain what we see in psi. There are a lot of similarities between quantum mechanics and psi.
Oh, psi.
They both appear to be stochastic or statistical in nature.
By the way, psi is this, like they're trying to quantify this, like, ability or whatever, if you are to believe that it exists. And anyway,
like psionics, like Mass Effect or BioShock,
right? I
don't
fucking know, dude. They're just trying to quantify like this, like a metric of measuring somebody's like conscious
ability.
Yeah,
okay.
It's this ability to whatever. I don't know, extrapolate. But anyway, good. So we'll keep going.
Things don't happen all the time. They happen sometimes and not other times. There appears to be spooky action at a distance, as Einstein called it, because distant systems or people seem to be correlated. And there appear to be observer effects, that is, when you observe something, it seems to change, which is the same as in quantum mechanics. And so there are a lot of similarities, but I think it's dangerous to try to make a quantitative model using quantum mechanics at this point, because unless you can test that model and prove that it is right or wrong, it provides no value.
Pause. The fuck is this guy talking about? Literally, quantum mechanics, all of it is a quantitative model. The Schrodinger equation is a quantitative model.
Yeah.
This shows you.
He's trying to say like people that are in psi community trying to apply quantum mechanics to the study can't. It's don't do it.
Oh, quantum mechanics to the psi.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't try to describe consciousness or whatever in the language of quantum mechanics.
Okay.
He's like saying like because like people you'll see people talk or you if you read into this.
Who's that guy, by the way?
Garrett Modell.
A Modell.
Yeah, PhD in physics. He's one of the more active guys.
Imagine getting a PhD in physics and going into this field.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, I mean, he might have had a very spiritual moment in his life and then a near-death experience.
My facepalm is knowing no limits right now.
But
wasting your time on this.
I mean, I don't know. The dude knows his, apparently, I mean, they talked about
but
this
can
for
can he
an hour
not just do
minutes.
The research I did and just look and see that the fucking statistical, every time the statistical significance of a research paper on this is done, it's always when the controls suck. Mm-hmm. Like, how much more do you need to look into? Mm-hmm. There's not much more you need to look into. I don't go around looking at every single paper that has shitty science and then saying, oh, look, there's something. Mm-hmm. It's like any time the experiment is done properly, the statistical significance goes away. So what are we doing here? This annoys me, Juan. This annoys me so much. It's like people latch on to shit that just so it's just so manufactured. Like, why? Mm-hmm.
So like, how would
if it was good science, then I would get it. Uh-huh. But it's not good science. It's always the bad science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting. I think it's a very interesting study on like just how we do science and how even very intelligent people can slip into
fool themselves.
Well, slip into like, I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. Just I think there is some value to this.
Yeah.
Meaning that like we can suss out like what is like this will really tell you that basically. Quantum. We don't have any real effect on the world as the interpretation of quantum mechanics is like, you know, there's observer effects of consciousness affecting reality and stuff, because that's kind of what these people at large sort of take on as a.
I kind of lost what you were saying. What did you say?
I was just I'm just saying that like it helps us suss out what is and what isn't.
What isn't?
Yeah, what's real and what isn't?
Yeah, I think I was actually thinking about this earlier today. It's like, I wonder if it'd be nice to give like physics undergraduates, like, make them do papers on dumb experiments like this, so that they really have to think about why this is wrong. Mm-hmm. And these are like classic examples of how you can fool yourself into believing certain results when you shouldn't. And actually, I was trying to look for it right now. I just found this guy, David F. Marks. He's another one of these guys that talks about paranormal stuff, except he's a skeptic on it. He says he made a thing of rules for would-be rationals, which is basically a list of certain things you need to have in order to show that your experiment, or I guess like either, it's like what things to look out for in bad research or things to do to make good research.
Sure.
So I'll read the list of what he has here. So he has one that says, if what, then what? This one I didn't really like. I didn't know what it was saying. But it says, many beliefs are stated in such vague terms that even the author doesn't know what they mean. They are judged on their aesthetic merits like a painting. To bring a belief down to earth, you can ask what it predicts, what it means in terms of if what, then what. For example, I like this example. It says, for example, a person offers the opinion that we have hardly begun to grasp the possibilities of cosmic consciousness. You ask what he means and get another string of words you don't understand. So then you might say, if I have a cosmic consciousness, how would my life be different? Mm-hmm. So I guess it's trying to pull out of them, like, how does that change? Like, what does that explain? I don't know.
I think it's just like, it's kind of like the, it's kind of an expression of what something that Feynman said that I think was really interesting. He was like, a good experimentalist or a good scientist tries to explain the data they see with no knowledge. You can't just be like,
right,
whoa, what is this? And then speculate something just so absurdly.
This has to do with the thing with the hit is always a hit when you interpret it afterwards. Yeah. You've got to have a kind of understanding of where you're going.
Yeah, but you have to build it with the knowledge that we do know that's concrete. Otherwise, you're kind of reaching. You're reaching.
Yes, and like, this is another thing that actually David F. Marks, the guy I'm reading right now, was saying, where the parapsychology is always about negative hits versus positive hits. Mm-hmm. And he might even have it here. So yeah, it says
the ratio. So you're saying the ratio of, like, let me guess, the ratio of bad hits to good is much higher than good hits.
No, it means that the negative hits are anything that doesn't fill in the gaps of what's known knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's automatically considered a parapsychological phenomenon.
Yeah.
Whereas that's not really how real science works.
Yeah.
Real science is like, there's a hypothesis or something or some kind of scaffolding for theory that they say, does it follow this?
Yeah.
It's a positive result. You're trying to get a positive result.
Yeah.
So if you're always just saying like, oh, it doesn't match this, like, oh, I can't explain this, I can't explain this, I can't explain this with what's known, therefore it must be parapsychological.
Yeah, yeah.
You're always going to get hits for parapsychology because they're always negative hits.
Yeah, yeah.
A positive hit would be like, oh, can we find this particle?
Yeah.
Can I find this particle? Can I find this particular, let's say like this particular, result from something. That's a positive hit.
Yeah.
Because you're actually looking for a pointed thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can't find a positive hit, then you can rule that out.
Mm.
If you have only negative hits, then you can't rule anything out because anything that's a negative hit that doesn't follow the known knowledge, it's always going to be parapsychological then.
True.
For a lot of those people's results.
Yeah. So
he actually lists that, I think, somewhere within this list of rules for would-be rationals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's important. I think that's important to state and important for any scientist to kind of look into. I just think it's wild that the UK, you can look this up, the UK literally has, they give out degrees in this.
Just such a shame, man, we're still in this age of bullshit.
Though. It's kind of wild.
It's so stupid to me. This is so easily, do you follow the scientific method at all? Like, are we not past this phase of reality, of life? Like, we don't prop up bad science. If your science does not meet the criteria for good science, why are we taking that seriously? It's so silly to me.
So apparently the university is the Koestler Parapsychology Unit at
Kessler?
K-O-E-S-T-L-E-R at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. Mm-hmm. It hosts the only endowed chair of parapsychology in the UK, hosted by Arthur Kessler. And yeah, apparently they still do.
Fuck Kessler. Piece of shit.
Damn, Terrence, what did he do, bro?
I'm just pissed, man. I hate when people do bad science. It fucking annoys me.
It says here, they conduct research into the psi hypothesis. Pseudo-psi, what's not apparently psychic, but looks like it. Beliefs about the paranormal and
it's
the
all pseudo-psi.
Some anomalous and the studies of psychologically anomalous phenomena.
I love how the psi people have pseudo psi. That's amazing.
I mean, this is a legitimate university, the University of Edinburgh.
God, what a waste of money. What a waste of money and everyone's time.
Well, they're wasting their time, Terrence. They're not wasting
yours. They are, but it just hurts me. I was like, man. Imagine if you did productive things in life.
The University of London as well.
It's like a theology degree. It's like, what are you doing?
Oh my goodness, Terrence. Are you now you're going nuclear, bro. You're coming after other disciplines.
It's in the same realm. It's in the exact same territory. I mean, it's all the same shit to me. Theology. Well, I guess theology can be justified if you're like a historian. Mm-hmm. So I won't shit on theologians fully, because if they're like just interested in like cataloging the trajectory of religions and everything, then that's fine. But if you're like actually like getting a PhD in theology to be a preacher or something, then you've wasted your life.
Well, the people in the UK, I could totally see them studying this. Just because, I mean, look, you have the University of West England, Bristol, and also Dr. Ian Hume at the Cardiff Metropolitan University.
His name would be Hume, huh?
Dr. Ian Baker and Dr. Ben Roberts, Malcolm Schofield at the University of Derby. What else? The Kessler unit or whatever. Dr. David Luke at the University of Greenwich. They have a program where you can get a bachelor's of science in parapsychology. Professor Richard Wiseman. You can be a PhD student in issues of parapsychology at the University of Hertfordshire. Yeah, man. University of Lancaster, so University of London at Goldsmith. Wow, man. Manchester Metropolitan University, University of Northampton.
This is where you can get the degree.
Yeah, University of York. Yeah, man.
The cringe is unreal. The cringe is so unreal.
I mean, like, it's just kind of wild to me.
I'm mad you had to enlighten me on this, because I never even knew.
I want to go.
How bad it was.
I want to go to the UK and just visit these people. I want to talk to them and be like, why? Why do you? What's up? Like, I want to understand.
It's just it's probably a lot of over-justification. I've noticed when people get really really far off the beaten trail of really crazy beliefs, they never address the foundations. They always address the higher order complexity of things, so it seems legit. Because the higher complexity is all based on logic and things, but their foundational logic is fucked up. It's just like people who believe in communism stuff. They love to talk about all the higher level things of how we never have implemented true communism and all this stuff. And their logic is really impeccable usually when you take it out to those orders. But then when you just go back to the basics of fundamental logic, they can never answer the fundamental question of are all humans equal? They always have fucked up answers and convoluted things.
Well, that's quite
Or they'll have the You know, they'll just have a naive approach to it.
Damn, Terrence, you are going nuclear. You're going after after other fields.
Well, I'm going off of all. I'm going after all the things that are rooted in bad logic, or all the things that are rooted in dubious kind of logic or science or something around those lines, or magical mystical beliefs.
I will say this. I'm going to say this. So
it's all the same. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So the logic is dubious. I will say that what I appreciate about this is that it susses out. So there's some crossover though with. What I found was interesting. There's some crossover with people that are studying consciousness.
Of course.
There seems to be like this, because I mean, they're talking about psi and it's like this thing that measures consciousness and how you, I don't know. It's like trying to understand consciousness. And there are some people that are bleeding over more into that realm. I think because people are still trying to quantify what it means to be conscious and like, for you to even talk about consciousness existing outside of yourself is like, you don't even understand consciousness. So why are you talking about, like, why do we even begin to talk? Why are you even trying to talk about this?
Oh, like this a ability, psi version
this,
of it.
This ability of like extending your consciousness outside of yourself.
Well, I can maybe see that because they're kind of intertwined in some sense. So I guess you could
do
it. No,
what do you mean?
Because it would still be involved with consciousness, let's say, right? I don't think you could be off limits. Like, imagine if there was like physics where.
No, I don't agree. I don't agree. Because, like, I think, like, because if we don't even understand, that's what I'm saying. We don't even understand the like you're saying, the fundamentals, the building blocks.
But let's pretend psi was like testable. Right.
But right now we don't even have a conception of psi if you want to think about it.
But I'm saying let's pretend that psi was testable.
Okay.
And then we actually were actually able to test
consciousness in some way. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Then that would be useful data, right? Because that could tell us something illuminating about consciousness itself.
Yeah, but we don't even understand. But that's okay. But there. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying
any
if
data
able,
that helps us understand would be useful, right?
Yeah.
So you could do it in my view, you could do it. You can approach problems from many different angles. Sometimes there are others that are better than. There are some are better than others, but
yeah. But we're critiquing this approach because this approach seems so.
Well, because it's not real science; it's fucked up science. Like when your science is breaking the rules of what science is supposed to be, then it's like, or like when your science doesn't meet certain criteria, when you've fucked up controls, you're not doing science; you're just doing shitty research.
Yeah. Well, this is why I'm like I want to focus your thoughts on or focus your concentrations on quantifying science of quantifying consciousness first. And then maybe you can extrapolate like these like things that like where people have perceptions outside of themselves when they take psychedelics or something, right? Because these are also other
even then I don't know.
Because these are also other probings of like altered states of consciousness, right?
Sure.
And like I would say that has more rigor than parapsychology in some sense because you know you're in an altered state of consciousness and you know that. People are imagining things. They're imagining that they're seeing themselves outside of themselves or perception, altered states of perception that are like, why?
Yeah, like you can actually confirm that psychedelics will do something different to your mind.
Yeah.
Like take LSD if you don't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the proof is in the pudding. So you know something's going on there.
But see, those are physical observables. You can see, you can put yourself in a state of altered consciousness.
Yeah.
And you can now...
You can probably also quantify it, I bet, too.
What do you mean?
I bet you could probably find some characteristics that are shared between all people who are on psychedelics.
Yeah. You can, yeah.
That statistically show that there is something going on.
Yeah. Okay. No, there are. Yeah. I mean, that's what...
I'm sure there
studies
is.
Studies in LSD...
Yeah, that actually are statistically significant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not just messed up controls.
Right. That's what I mean. Like, I think you if you want to study altered states of consciousness, this is not the way... Parapsychology is not the way to do it. You should probably focus your efforts on studying what consciousness even is, and also maybe altered states of consciousness, like take on what's the brain like on psychedelics. What are these altered states of consciousness? What does that mean?
What are these?
But other than that,
yeah,
there were some, like I said, there were some events that left me scratching my head. Like, I don't know, that's interesting as hell, but I don't know.
But in the end of the day, what's the final verdict, Juan? I think we're getting to the time, man.
The final verdict, a lot of the experiments suck. It's kooky as hell.
Yeah.
But I will say there was some cool, interesting stuff that I read that I
You're
was
too
like,
nice, Juan. Too much of a
no, I'm just saying pleaser. It's fantastical. It's like it's a fantastical thing. I want to believe that there's magic in the world. But, you know, but I think
there is. It's just not in that form.
Most of it is bullshit. I will say.
Black holes and shit.
You know what I mean? Most of it is bullshit, but, like, there were some interesting, like, little things. I would say, you know, if you have a free afternoon, go ahead and
research into it.
I'd, like, watch a documentary. There's, oh, yeah. So, one documentary I would recommend is, let me just pull this up right now. That's because I sent it to you.
That's the one you sent me?
Yeah, one of them is.
For anyone who is agreeing with me heavily, I wouldn't watch it.
No, if you want to know more about this in the history,
because I thought it was pretty bad.
If you want to know, it's an old documentary.
It's with the woman Jessica Otts, who's basically a parapsychologist.
No.
Oh, okay,
no,
it's the other one.
There's another one, a BBC. It's a BBC film, but that's more like it's old school. But it's very thorough. So if you have an afternoon and you're interested in this topic, go ahead and watch it. It's called The Case of ESP. Mm. It's original and uncut, 1983 BBC film.
Film, huh?
Yeah. And they, you know, it's a good documentary because it takes both. It gives you the perspective of both sides. Mm-hmm. So it's like this shows equal. Well, not I wouldn't say equal time to the skeptics, but it does give you it gives you a sense of objectivity, which is appreciated for me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it gives you the skeptics' arguments and then also the proponents.
Right.
And if you want to check it out, that's what I would look it up. But yeah,
I would say check out Stranger Things if you want to do something.
If you want a cool, fantastical. Also, The Man Who Stared at Ghosts is a good movie. What other stuff?
I didn't see it.
The TV show Psych also deals with this, but it's more of a grounded view of this, where like the quote unquote psych person is just a hyper aware person who's able to intuit.
Oh, I see.
From its
it's like
from,
Sherlock.
Yeah. It's like
he's just super smart, notices a lot of details.
Exactly.
And then
extrapolates.
Sure.
And he's able, and his intuition is usually correct.
Right.
It's like a
godly intuition.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but final verdict, you say Juan bullshit or not?
Yeah, honestly, most of it is probably bunk.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Oh, really? I mean, most of it is bunk, but it's like,
okay,
to me, it's just, you know, I just want to believe in magic. This is like the whole aliens thing.
Juan, we got plenty of magic, bro.
No, but this is like the aliens thing. Like, it's like most of it is bullshit, but, you know.
But aliens kind of have a little bit going for them, at least. You know, because at least we live in a galaxy that's 13 billion light years across. At least we have the possibility of an alien existing. This shit is fucking absurd.
All right, and with that, folks, let us know your psi scores down below in the comments.
Yeah, guys, so like, share, comment, subscribe. Yeah. Check out IgenBros.com, IgenBros Instagram, IgenBros Twitter, IgenBros 2 TikTok.
Yeah.
Thank you again, Patreon supporters. And if you guys want to check us out on Patreon and support your boys, make sure you, you know, give us a dollar or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and focus all your psi scores for my test tomorrow. Onto me.
Yeah.
Or your psi energy.
Oh, is it really tomorrow?
No, it's not for them. It's going to be tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So right now, wherever you're sitting right now, think about me and give me all your brain power to pass this exam, okay?
Help one pass, guys.
Help me pass.
Channel your energy.
Give me like
good vibes only.
The Dragon Ball Z kind of like spirit bomb. But consciously, spirit bomb my brain. So anyways, thank you, folks, and we'll see you next week.
Ta-ta.
Bye.